Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, hello and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. I'm your host, Roy Richards. Today, we continue our series of programs on re-energizing your spirit, mind, and body, the fifth of my six R's of midlife renewal. And let me begin today by asking you three questions. The first question, at what age do you consider a person to be old? The second question, what characteristics and traits do you associate with being old? And the third question, at your present age, be it 47, 56, 63, whatever, do you consider yourself to be an old person? You know, when we think about it, old age is highly subjective. There's no ironclad definition that says we must consider ourselves old at any set chronological age. I know we're eligible for Medicare at 65 and full Social Security at 66 and a half or something like that in the U.S., but not all of us retire in our early to mid-60s, but we don't have to retire from life, certainly, just because we retire from our career. And if you're like me, you know people who are down in the dumps, out of gas, with persistent health problems, low on energy and enthusiasm at 48 or 50. And you probably know others who are vibrant and full of life with positive plans for the future at 68, heck, at 78 for that matter. You know, the real difference between a youthful person and an old person is positive energy. And while many people accept old age and subsequent declining health as an inevitable fact of life, our guest today says that that's utter nonsense. You know, each of us has the ability to remain vital, healthy, and youthful well into our golden years. And at a recent event in Philadelphia, I met a man on an elevator I judged to be in his late 40s, maybe early 50s, and it turns out it was today's guest, Rico Cavalia, whose chronological age actually is 70 years old, but his fitness age is 22. He's been a fitness trainer for 31 years, and he's America's top anti-growing old trainer. He's developed the ageless living lifestyle, and he's owner of a lifetime fitness facility in La Jolla, California, a beautiful place I'd like to be right now. He's also author of 15 books, including Ageless Living, The Ultimate Lifestyle for Health, Vitality, Longevity. And hello, Rico, and welcome to our program.
Hello, Roy, and thank you very much for having me.
Well, you point out on your website that scientists now say we have a genetic potential to stay alive and healthy to, like, age 125, yet the average life expectancy in America is less than 80 years. What's the primary reasons we forfeit 45 good years, and why are so many of us getting sick and dying at such a young age?
Well, that's a great question, and that's exactly why I developed the Ageless Living Lifestyle. When I first found this out, probably about maybe 15 years ago, that science did tell us that our lifespan should be 125, but then we know our life expectancy is only about 80, so I said, hey, I don't want to miss out on 40 to 45 years of good living, so I started doing my investigation, and of course, you know, what I came up with, it's primarily lifestyle. Our genetics plays really a small role in how healthy you're going to be and how long you're going to live. And even the AMA, you know, the Conservative American Medical Association, now will say that up to 80% of all degenerative diseases, you know, such as cancer, heart disease, diabetes, which is killing most people, is preventable with a healthy lifestyle. So we know it's lifestyle.
Yeah, that's and you point out that to avoid the ravages of old age, it's not just about exercise, proper diet, and clean living. But, you know, if I practice these three virtues, what more do I need? What am I missing there for a successful lifetime plan?
Well, I think it's really, it starts with a mindset. All these years being a personal trainer, I always wonder why do people have such a difficult time sticking with a healthy eating program or an exercise program? As you well know, Roy, so many people start and they stop, and they just can't seem to stick with it. And so what I finally came up with, it's really the mental aspect or really the spiritual aspect is what I like to say, is because I think there's kind of a disconnect with a lot of people between their physical life and their spiritual life. But I think when you realize that, at least in my understanding is, we're all spiritual beings, and we're here on earth for a while with a physical body, and we're here for a purpose. And our physical body is our gift, right? It's our gift, and it's our vehicle to do what we're meant to do here, and it's also, so we can enjoy and we can learn and grow. So then when you really have that understanding, then you realize, hey, my physical body is my most important thing. I got to take care of my physical body so I can live my purpose. I can do what I'm meant to do here. I can learn and grow and also enjoy my life. But if you don't have a healthy body and you don't have a lot of energy, you're not going to be able to be very successful or enjoy your life at all. So
Your physical body is kind of like a car. If you have a tired old car that won't start in the morning, and it's kind of tough to get to work or to
That's right. Right. So you got to take the best. I mean, it's just, if you stop and think about it, everybody, I don't think anybody would disagree. Our physical body is our true wealth and our true asset that we have. So it just makes sense. The thing is, we should have learned how to take care of our physical bodies in grade school. That should have been the first thing. We should have learned how to take care of our physical body the best way. We should have learned how to have good self-esteem and good communication skills, right, before we got into all the science and all that other stuff.
Yeah, that's very true. Sometimes I wonder, maybe they're doing better now, but back when I was in grade school, I don't think they paid enough attention to the body, really. Although we had gym class where we threw dodgeball at each other and stuff like that.
It was just more to go have some fun. But we never were told really, how important it is to learn how to take care of our, take responsibility for our health. That's the other thing.
So I remember playing dodgeball and I tripped over a chair and broke my two front teeth, which was real.
Oh, gee.
Had to have caps for years.
That's kind of funny.
You also point out, and we can all agree, that enjoying life is crucial to our health and wellness and can dramatically improve our later years. But it seems to me like it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. How can we begin to enjoy life if we are in bad health and stressed out over work, relationships and fitness, whatever, or finances? And, I can't just decree I'm going to start enjoying life today. So how do I get started and get that happy attitude so that...
That's very true. That's very true because, having good health and a lot of energy is the foundation for being able to be successful and to enjoy your life. That's true.
Yeah.
So if you're already not there, so that's what you need to do. I mean, you need to really focus on getting yourself as healthy and as fit and as much energy as you can. And then that'll really change your attitude, and that'll really change your ability to be successful in the other aspects of your life so you can enjoy your life.
It's kind of, the law of attraction they always talk about. If you really visualize yourself as fit and imagine yourself enjoying your life and really let that sink in, then you begin to start behaving like a fit person and like an energetic person. It kind of is self-building, I would think.
Absolutely. That is the law of attraction. Whatever our beliefs and what we think, that's what we're going to create, and that's what we're going to attract in our life. But, back in that thing about how it's so important to enjoy your life is, a while back they had a big study of a whole bunch of different centenarians, people who lived to be 100 and were fairly healthy. And they asked him, why do you think that you live to be 100 and you're still okay, and your mind's clear and all that?
Yeah.
And there was one thing that almost every one of them said was that they enjoyed their life. They had fun. They weren't so stressed out. They didn't take things so serious they enjoyed their life. So that's the biggest thing is to, have some fun and enjoy your life and don't be so stressed out and stuff.
And interestingly enough, it's often in what we'd call backward societies or, not advanced.
Yes. That's right. That's right. They're more down to earth and just enjoy just being alive. See, we got too caught up in all the material stuff and think that we have to make all this money and we got to have all these possessions and all this, and that's really what's important in life. And that's not, you know, being connected to nature and just appreciating all the beauty on earth and just appreciate being alive and being able to learn and experience things. That's really what makes one feel good and enjoy.
And living in the present instead of worrying about tomorrow or regretting the past is so key to that. You know, like you say, observing nature today and what's going around you around you right now. But
that's exactly right. You know, all the wise people and gurus and all the books I've ever read, all that they all say, you know, that our all the time when we struggle, it's when we're either worrying about what happened in the past or worrying about what might happen in the future instead of being in the present, you know?
Which I think one time I said 80% of what most people worry about in the future never happens anyway.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, you know, as a good start to the anti-aging regimen, on your website you have this great little video I think you did with a TV station in San Diego where you talk about the 4-4-4 method, and it sounds great to me because they're simple procedures. They only take like 4 minutes to do, and it's not something that's super strenuous. But tell us a little about that 4-4-4 method you have.
Yeah, you're right, Roy. People really love this because it's kind of fun, it's easy, and it's so effective if you would just do it. So the reason I call it 4x4x4 because it is. It's doing four things 4 times a day, and it only takes 4 minutes to do it. Well, maybe five, you know, but 4 minutes.
Well,
the first thing
we'll let you by on a minute there.
We'll slide on a minute. Okay, good. Okay, so the four things are, first one is you got to breathe. That's the most important thing. You got to get more oxygen in your body. So you got to take time to take like 10 deep, full abdominal deep breaths, you know, where you breathe in all the way up through your nose and then slowly blow it out through your mouth.
Yeah, I know that makes me feel really good when I do that.
So every metabolic function in our body requires oxygen, and that's really the reason that, you know, we are tired or we can't keep going or do things because we're out of oxygen. So you just got to breathe. Take time out to do deep breathing at least 4 or 5 times a day. So that's really easy to do. It takes about a minute to do that. And the next one is hydration. That's the next most important thing. You know, our bodies are 70% water. Our brains are 90% water almost.
Wow.
So you got to stay hydrated. So you should be drinking every hour. You should at least have like a cup of water, filtered water. Make sure you stay hydrated because, again, every metabolic function in our body requires water. So that's easy to do too. It takes 30 seconds to drink a glass of water.
Yeah.
Third one is the one that people really love. It's a tapping process where you just tap with your one hand all the way up your arm and down your sides and down your legs and up your back, and you tap all over your body. And what that does, you're just moving blocked energy, and it's just real stimulating, gets your circulation going, and it moves blocked energy. And when you do that for like about a minute and a half, I have people do that, and then you stand up straight and breathe. And you got a buzz going. Everybody goes, whoa, it feels so good. It really energizes you. So
yeah, I've been involved in some tapping webinars and stuff, and I love that tapping.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So I mean, that's just one aspect of it, one way you can apply that. And then the fourth one is really my favorite one because this one I call it's how to rejuvenate your eyes, and then also elevate your mood, adjust your attitude. So the whole idea of this energy thing is to keep your energy up mentally, physically, and also have a positive attitude throughout your day. So the fourth one you do is it's called cupping. You just rub your hands together real fast and create a little heat, and you close your eyes and you cup your hands over your eyes so there's no light coming in, and just let your eyes relax for about 30 seconds. And you know, we're all the time nowadays, you know, we're looking at small things, looking at our phone, looking at a computer, and your eyes get stuck. So you really need to give your eyes a little relaxation there.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
And so at the same time, while you're just relaxing your eyes, you put your attention on gratitude. Think of something in your life that you're really grateful for. And when you do that, it really elevates your mood because you feel really good. I'm really grateful for this. I really appreciate that this is something good. See, most of the time we're thinking about things we don't want or things that we're not happy with instead of the things that we should be grateful for.
So I've had guests on this program before who emphasize the importance of gratitude and
how
few people actually concentrate on that, and what a wonderful positive energy is generated by thinking about all the things.
Absolutely. So if you do that four times a day and keep your mind on what you're grateful for, and then the other aspect of that is I tell people to think about something that you still want to achieve in your life, something that you're really passionate about and you really want to experience or you want to happen, and then just have the feeling that it's about to happen. It's coming. Anytime it's about to happen. And that's real energizing, and it's real exciting. So it keeps your mood up because something really great is going to happen to you pretty soon. So if you do that four times a day, well, that's throughout your whole day. So you're keeping your energy up mentally, physically, and you're keeping your attitude up for the whole day. So, yeah, I think that is. It's pretty cool. I have to admit.
Anticipating something specific good happening in the future is so much in line with our theme that so many people, when they're progressing through middle age, think their best years are all behind them and, it's all downhill from here and I'm just going to end up in a retirement home soon or in a nursing home or whatever. And it's just if you don't have goals or objectives of what you're going to accomplish both for yourself and for others through the rest of your life, it can really be depressing and can certainly lead to your aging and it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you keep thinking about a nursing home, you'll probably end up there.
Absolutely. If that's what you're thinking about, that's what you're going to create. No question about it. As a matter of fact, I liked your introduction where you talk about how people think they're old and what do they think is really old and how do they consider old. Well, see, here's the definition. Here's what I came up with. It's why I call myself, or I'm known as America's anti-growing old trainer instead of anti-aging.
Yeah.
Because there's a big difference between aging and being old. See, aging is a natural process, right? You can't stop aging.
Of course. It's chronological ages.
Right. And actually, the definition of aging is good. If you look at the definition of aging, it means to become fully mature, to reach your full potential, like fine aged wine. So aging is good.
Yeah.
But old, see, you look up old, and old means to be worn out, used up, unexcited about your life. So nobody wants to be old, but old is just old's a choice. It's a state of your mind and a state of your body, and those are choices.
Yeah.
So that's why I say I have anti-growing old strategies.
That's great. I never really thought about that, but like you say, aging is positive. Growing old is not.
That's exactly right. So you never have to be old. If you're old, you chose to be old. That's a choice.
Yeah.
So that's what I teach. I teach anti-growing old strategies and just let people understand that you can either choose to be old or you can choose to stay excited and energetic and positive about your life.
In this program I always say middle age is from around 40 or whatever to ? Because the end of middle age is all up to you, really. You don't have to consider yourself old, whatever. I don't care if you're 90 years old. You still have a youthful attitude.
Exactly right. Even the term, like the term senior citizen, it just gives me the creeps.
That bugs the heck out of me, too, when they talk about seniors.
They put people in a category. They think they're a senior, so then they have to act a certain way. They dress a certain way. You need help. You got to go to the senior center and hang. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just conditioning that people bought into, and then they just go along with it, So that's why one of the first things about my ageless living philosophy is, forget about your age. Who cares really what your age is? Who cares what your age is,
I tell my wife, never tell anyone how. Of course, women don't want to tell that anyway, but why should you tell anyone how old you are? It's not really relevant to much of anything.
You should use this too, because whenever I speak to groups and I tell them the definition of aging and the definition of old, and then I say, okay, what do we commonly say when we want to know someone's age? And we say, how old are you? I don't know where that came from, but we say, how old are you, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I say, okay, now when you say, how old are you, you're actually saying, how beat up, worn out, unexcited about your life are you?
That's not cool.
So I tell people, you got to stop saying, how old are you?
Yeah.
If you want to know someone's age, ask them, what's your age? But don't say how old you are,
Well, let's talk about one other thing. On your website, you promise that we can instantly end the struggle of losing weight forever, and I'm all ears on that. I lose 20 pounds, and then I gain back 10, and why are so many people unsuccessful in losing weight and keeping it off, and why will most fad diets actually make you fatter over time? I know you mentioned that.
Well, I don't know how much time we have, but that we can go on and on and on and that for a long time.
Well, I know we can. Just
give
us a little.
No, I'm willing to give away my big secret. It's kind of funny, actually, what it is. Okay, the secret to ending your struggle immediately with weight loss is real simple. Throw away your scale and stop weighing yourself. Forget about how much you weigh. Never weigh yourself again. Get rid of that stress. Because think about this. Weight loss, it doesn't really work, does it?
No.
I mean, people have been – it's a $100 billion a year industry, the weight loss industry.
Yeah.
I call it the four Ps, the pills, powders, packaged foods, and preposterous promises.
Yet, I like that.
And yet, America, we know America's getting fatter and fatter and fatter. So,
yeah.
I mean, what's going on? We're spending all these billions of dollars and people are getting fatter. So, obviously, all these weight loss pills and programs and diets, they don't work, right?
No,
so, it's the wrong concept. Think about this, too, Roy. It's all about the wording, too. See, we don't like to lose anything, right? What happens if you lose something? You try and find it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
The whole term of weight loss, if you lose something, you find it and put it back. So here's what I say. Totally forget about weight loss. Put it out of your mind and realize what you need to do is concentrating on getting a healthy, fit body that's just right for you. And obviously, it's like a lot of people have, I tell them, it's just you have stored energy. You have an excess of body fat. Well, you need to work on lowering your percentage of body fat or gain a healthy percentage of body fat.
Yeah.
So you work on reducing your body fat, but your focus is not on weight loss. You know, that's absolutely the worst goal. You know, every year it's one of the biggest New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight.
That's one of the biggest failed New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, it failed. Well, that's the reason why. First of all,
it usually lasts about 3 days. So.
Yeah, it's the wrong wording, first of all. And secondly, see, in order for a goal, in order for you to be able to really be successful at achieving a goal, it has to be tied to your core values. In other words, it has to be tied to what you're really passionate about in your life and what's really important to you. I mean, no one wants to even think about weight loss. That's not a core value. That's not a core value is like, you know, having a nice, successful family or being successful in your business or making a difference in the world. So you have to tie your goal to that. So in other words, I need a healthy, fit body so I can really support and enjoy my family and make a successful business and make a difference in the world. So that's what your goal is.
It just makes you feel better about yourself when you're fat.
Reducing body fat and getting healthy, that's just something I have to do to achieve my real goal, which is having a fit, healthy body. So that's what I teach.
But I'm not an expert, but how can somebody like me determine what foods are best for my body type? I mean, how do you go about doing that? I know you have a book called Real Food, Real Fast.
Yeah, that was my first book I wrote. Actually, that's been my most popular book. It's basically what that basically is a whole system of how you can get organized so you can make healthy fast food. But also, we have some basic nutrition guides in there, and also there's three kind of basic metabolic types. And once a few questions you can see and see what your metabolic type is. And then that gives you a kind of a general guideline on what foods are best for you. But really, Roy, everyone's so unique. You know, I mean, you know, these days a lot of people do have a food intolerance to gluten, and there's a lot of different things. So you have to still got to pinpoint it more down. But basically, here's the basic thing. That if everybody would just do this, they'd be so much better. And that's why I call it real food, real fast. You got to just eat real food. And real food is what's grown in nature, right? It's organic fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts and seeds, and then some healthy animal products that are raised naturally, not in a cage or in a pen, and they're grass-fed without any hormones and chemicals, then animal products can be good for you as well. But you just have to see, you know, it's a process to determine really what foods are best for you. But if you just got rid of all the processed, junk, fast foods that comes in boxes and cans and at the restaurants, you'd be so well ahead of yourself. But these days, there's a lot of good people. There's a lot of good integrative medicine doctors and naturopathic doctors and even chiropractors and nutritionists that know how to, you know, there's lots of different ways to test your body to see what foods are serving you or not serving you, even from with muscle testing. And there's lots of units that, that they can actually test you. You know, you can see if a food's serving you well or not. So you can, it's not that difficult to find out what foods are causing you problems.
Yeah. Well, your featured book, Ageless Living, The Ultimate Lifestyle for Health, Vitality, and Longevity, and I love the motto of your book, we have to age, but we do not have to get old in the process. Tell us a little about that book. That's the complete like mind-body strategy for creating your ageless living program. Is that what the book
is? Exactly, that's what it is. That's kind of what I've learned, you know, all these years working with people. You know, in the past 31 years working with so many different clients of all different ages and fitness levels with a lot of different health challenges, you know, I was able to see, you know, how all this mental and physical neglect does to the human body and how it really accelerates aging. But then I was also able to discover and develop, you know, strategies that can reverse a lot of that aging and also prevent a lot of it as well. And so, again, what I came up with, there's three basic strategies. And I have them named. So the mental-emotional component is the clear strategy. You know, you have to be clear on what your life's about and your purpose.
Yeah, definitely.
And be clear that, hey, I can keep – and you have to believe it. So you have to believe that you can stay healthy and all your life.
Yeah, of course you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen.
That's exactly right. You know, the old famous thing, you know, Henry Ford gets credit for that saying, whether you believe you can or can't do something, you're right.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, there's no question about it. And then the next strategy, I call it the care strategy. It's how to care for your physical body, and it's how to make sure you get enough oxygen, you get enough water, you're getting real food, you're eliminating all the waste products, you're moving your body on a regular basis, and you're getting enough sleep. You know, if you don't get enough sleep, your body can't repair itself.
No,
and then,
that's for sure.
So it's all those. It's just learning how to. You know what I finally came up with, Roy, was I call it the seven essentials of life. Because these are all the things that we're all doing them every day anyway, in order just to stay alive, right? We have to breathe, we have to drink water, we have to eat,
Might as well do them right.
Yes, that's right. But most people haven't really mastered those things. So it's just a matter of doing what you're already doing and doing it better. So in the book, I try and show you what I think is the very best way and what I've learned how to master each one of those areas.
Yeah.
And then the third one is the can strategy means taking action now
I can do it, you have to believe that and you have to get off the snide.
So you got to have a plan. In other words, you can say, okay, I learned, I know all this stuff, but then if you don't have a written plan, exactly now's when I'm going to do my exercise, now's when I'm going to go get the healthy food, here's how I'm going to prepare, here's when I'm going to sleep. If you don't have a plan, you know, for your day and for your life, how you're going to do all this stuff, it's not going to happen. So,
and I'll start tomorrow.
Start tomorrow, yeah. Well, you know, Roy, that's, you know, you hit another thing on the head. That's my biggest challenge for all of us in this field is that it's hard to make it urgent enough. You know, I tell you, I don't think anybody that I can sit down with and just have a conversation that we've just had, and I'm sure all your listeners are agreeing. They're saying, yeah, it sounds great, sounds really good. But are they going to go out immediately and start doing it? Probably not. Because
they probably wait till they have a stroke or some kind of.
Yeah. I mean, don't wait till you have that serious. It's like, I like to liken it to. It's like having a bee on your finger, and so you wait until it starts to sting you, and then you get a hammer and smash it. You know, so.
There goes your finger.
Yeah, so you don't have to wait to, you know, it's so bad that they have to smash your finger to heal you, you know.
Where can somebody find your book, or what's the best way to get that ageless living?
It is on Amazon, but really I think this probably costs more there. So if you just go to my website, agelesslivinglifestyle.com, you can order just right off my website there.
Yeah, and I noticed on your website you had a longevity quiz that people can take for free.
Yes.
And I didn't actually do it on the online, but I did it casually, informally, and I came up with a score of 31 cumulative for 10 questions. So how many years do I have left to live?
Well, I better come over to your house today and get you. No, I'm just kidding.
31
well, obviously 5 is the max, so 50, if you had a 50, you'd be doing good. So 30 is pretty good, but you can do better. You got room for improvement.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I certainly recommend that people go to Rico's website. That's agelesslivinglifestyle.com. And you have a whole bunch of other products on there, ebooks, and you have some, like a blender, I think, on there. And
a Vitamix, that's really the best thing.
Programs,
the whole food blender, and we have a 21-day detox program.
Yeah, and you've got an audio-video guidebook program called the Fun Program. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, that's actually, I don't call it weight loss, but that's actually geared towards, reducing your body fat. It's a 6-CD, 2 DVDs, and a guidebook all about, how to master the shape and health of your body.
So there's a bunch of great stuff there. That's agelesslivinglifestyle.com. And thank you so much, Rico, for joining us today. This has been a most informative, and I hope the listeners will take heed, because everyone wants to live to 125, but you don't want to spend the last 50 years in a nursing home. They have
sure.
to be good years.
That's
so,
right.
Thank you
for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I want to detour from our current theme of re-energizing and introduce a website of great potential value for anyone out of work or seeking to change jobs or careers at middle age, and that website is knockemdead.com, and our guest is the man behind the site, job search and career coach Martin Yate. He has 35 years experience coaching professionals in transition, including executives, managers, and military transitioning to civilian life. He's also coached recruiters and headhunters around the world, so he's been on both sides of the fence. Martin is also a New York Times best-selling author with 62 foreign language editions of his Knock 'em Dead series of books, including the 2013 Ultimate Job Search Guide. Hello, Martin, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on the air, Roy. And let me say, we all dream of writing a book. And it's anyone can write a book. All you need is the total lack of a social life.
Yeah.
I'm on, when we finish 1st of June, I will start my 17th and 18th books.
Wow.
So, there's nothing much going on in my life these days.
Sounds like you have a very active life, actually, from your website. But before we talk about products and services on your website, I'd like to ask a couple questions of particular interest to those of us at middle age. And the first one is, the job search strategy has changed so markedly from the last time I sought a job in the early 90s. The ultimate objective is obviously the same. You have to get a face-to-face interview with a hiring manager, or you're probably not going to get hired. But 95% of resumes never get read, and internet postings draw hundreds and even thousands of responses. In this age of social media, what's the best way for a 48-year-old or a 52-year-old to get in front of the hiring manager? Where do we start?
If there was one simple answer to that, I would own the Virgin Islands and we wouldn't be talking.
No.
Here's a situation we're in. Your audience, and I'm a member of your audience. I'm 62 next month. And we no longer say how many years' experience I have in my profession because of that silent age discrimination.
Yeah.
The facts of the matter are this. We all drank the Kool-Aid. And the Kool-Aid was, if you work hard and you're loyal, you will be rewarded with lifetime employment, gradually increasing responsibility and earnings. And at the end of the day, you'll have a house in town, a house at the lake, and gently bobbing at the end of the dock will be your boat.
Yeah.
And most of us know that was a crock.
Yeah.
And we have to learn a new way of doing it. Now, in the last 10 years, all of recruitment has moved online.
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
And that means that all of job search has happened.
Yeah.
So we have two realities here. The reality that we were all raised with, do a good job and you'll be treated, responded to with long-term employment, is a crock and doesn't work. So we have to have a new approach to career management.
Yeah, you have to be your own career manager. You can't.
Well, we have to learn what it is. What is career management?
True.
What is job search? And anything
true.
We knew about resumes And job search doesn't apply anymore because it's all changed.
Yeah.
You know, we used to write a resume, and you would put on there, Roy, I would guess if I looked at your resume today, it would be a fairly honest recitation of all the things you have done that you think would appeal to an employer.
Yeah.
And that is going to go into one of these resume databases. Now, the three big ones, Monster, Career Builder, PodJobs. 1997, I was sitting with Jeff Taylor, who was the founder of Monster, and three of his employees for the weekend in a hotel, and we were talking about the future of Monster, a company I never worked for, but I knew very well.
Yeah.
And Jeff said, I have this idea. We're going to create a fish tank for resumes. And one day there's going to be a million resumes in there, and we're going to be able to make a buck out of it. We're going to be able to charge recruiters to look. Monster, Hot Jobs, these big databases, they all have over 60 million resumes in them now.
Yeah, wow.
Which means your resume is a minnow in an Atlantic ocean of resumes.
Sure is.
And here's the other thing. You know, no one ever wakes up in the morning and says, it's a lovely day in the neighborhood. I'm going to read resumes today.
Yeah, that's Mr. Rogers used to sing.
Yeah,
that.
You know it? I may talk funny, but I know Mr. Rogers because of all the kids. And that general resume never gets found. When a recruiter goes online to look for a resume, they have a specific job in mind.
Yeah.
Now, as a mature professional, there are three or four jobs we can do. But what we have to do is make a decision of these three or four jobs, which is the one I can make the best argument for on paper, the best argument for in person, and that when I hit the ground running, I won't trip over my shoelaces.
Yeah.
And then we write what we call at Knock 'Em Dead, a prime resume around that target job.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what I tell people to do in my book. But
And then for those second and third jobs, we suggest writing second and third resumes. Much of them are going to remain the same. Layout can remain the same.
Yeah.
Dates of employment, employers are going to be the same. But what does change is, and this is very important, we assume that we know what should go in the resume. And the resume usually starts with someone's name and then an objective. And this is absolutely wrong.
Yeah, that's why I don't start it.
No one cares what you want. So it should start with your name and then the job you're after.
That's exactly right. No one cares what you want. They want to know what you can do for them.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Now, the first lesson we all learned in our first jobs was, the customer's always right. That was your first lesson, right?
Yeah.
My first lesson, too. And the second lesson was, find out what your customer wants and sell it to them.
Yeah.
Is that right with you, Roy?
Amen.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah, when it comes to our resume, we don't do that.
No.
So at Knock 'Em Dead, we have this process that we call target job deconstruction. It means deciding what that prime job is and then collect a bunch of job postings for that job and then following a set sequence of steps that we have to get inside the employer's head, find out how they prioritize that job, how they think about it, how they express those needs, and this becomes a template for the story your resume needs to tell.
Boy,
and this
that
is
sounds
the,
like a great idea. Something
this is the first step in making your resume discoverable when it's in one of these huge databases.
Yeah.
It's also going to make it readable by the recruiter, who gives it a first-time reading of 6 seconds, according to a recent study.
Yeah, and those are not the people that hire. Those are just the screeners that you've got to get by.
Yeah, it's got to be readable by those guys. And then thirdly, when it gets to the guy or the gal who's going to hire you, it's got to talk like one professional talking to another.
Yeah, that's very important. That's what I emphasize in my book all the time. You have to envision yourself as an incumbent and be willing to talk one professional to another.
Now, what's the title of this book again? Because you have a couple, Roy.
It's called A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. That's one of the subjects we talk about, along with waking up, your relationships and all the other things in life. But, I know it's just such a vast subject, and that's what people need to go to your website for. But let me ask one more question before we get into a little bit more about your website. At our age, we need to be continually aware of unspoken age bias. Say I'm age 50 and I'm interviewing in a job for which I'm highly qualified, and I know the interviewer no longer legally can ask me about my age, but I know that he or she is thinking about it. Now, should I come right out and bring my age up, and how do I tackle the issue and use it to my advantage?
Well, there's a number of things we need to do in this area. First of all, the older we get, the more likely it is that we are going to be facing interviewers who are younger than us.
Yes.
And because we are middle-aged and we are questioning mortality more and we are experiencing age discrimination, we are desperate to show that we are good. The result is that we tend to oversell.
Yeah, that's true. And you certainly don't want to look desperate for the – I mean, you want to look very interested but not desperate.
We go in there and behave like Superman. This is how I stop speeding bullets with the palm of my hand and leap tall buildings in a single bound. And that interviewer is sitting there quaking, saying, holy crap, Batman, we'd never be able to manage him.
Yeah, they say, oh, sure, too.
Yeah. And so we need to be careful about those things. Now, if you feel there is age discrimination going on, you have a choice. You can say nothing about it.
Yeah.
Or what I recommend you do, and about 90% of the people who hear this love it, and 10% of the people who hear it who don't happen to be middle-aged think it's a terrible idea. But if you're in the zone, you'll resonate with what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
The interviewer can't ask you about age discrimination. They can't say how old you are.
Yeah.
So you can walk out and hope, or you can do something about it. I'm proactive. I say, you know, in all the Knock 'em Dead books, in all the editions, in all the languages in the world, every page is about being proactive, about gaining control of your life and controlling the trajectory of your future. So my suggestion is, if I am sitting opposite Roy, I would look you in the eye and I'd say, Roy, you know, if I was sitting in your position, I'd look at me and I'd be thinking about the department and I'm thinking, this guy's 15 years older than everyone else in the department. Is he going to be able to work with him? Is he going to keep up? Now, I know you can't ask that question of me.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I want to tell you something about me. This is my age. This is my health. And there's a couple of benefits to this. Number one, the average person in America stays 4.5 years on the job. And you know that from your own staff. The younger they are, the quicker they change jobs.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to change jobs anymore. I'm looking for a place to settle down and do a good job. These are my skills, A, B, C, D, and E.
Yeah, and I'm not after your job.
I'm not after your job. I'm the one you've read this stuff in my books, haven't
well,
you?
Well, I went to your website and saw that download you have on Savvy Strategies for Overcoming Unspoken Age Bias, which I would highly recommend.
And you say this, and you say you're going to find that I'm the one person that you will discover after 6 months. Number one, I'll stand at your back.
Yeah.
Number two, in the best-run departments, the poop hits the paddle wheel with some regularity. It always does.
Yeah.
And I've been there. I've seen it before. I've been through it. I've made those mistakes on someone else's payroll. I'm ready for this. I will be a steadying influence for these people.
Yeah,
now, if all your customers are under 35, you probably don't want to hire me.
Yeah.
But if your customers are across the age spectrum, you need a team that crosses the age spectrum.
Yeah, that's another very good point.
Yeah.
You need a spokesman for customers of all ages.
Yeah, and so I go on. The older I've gotten, the more answers I've got to that question of unspoken age bias.
Well, tell us about the products and services, some of them are available on your website, because there's a vast number of resources that people can access.
There's an awful lot of free information, blogs by myself and blogs by people who I have known in this business for many years, who I think have intelligent things to say.
And you have resume services also.
We have we provide resume services, and we provide social media services. There's been talk recently about, with social media, you don't need a resume. The resume is dead. All you need is a LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
If you look more closely at the people who are telling you this tale, the first thing they want from you is your resume on which to base. Now, in so much as the world has changed, we need to build social networks.
Yeah.
Even in our middle ages, because we're not going to retire so young, and people help us through times of stress much better than past employers do.
Yeah.
It all starts with the resume. We write resumes for people all over the world, in all professions and all levels, and have done for almost 20 years now. But whether we're doing a resume or a resume in a social media profile, it all starts with the resume.
I know you offer one for a mid-career level resume, which is, I would think, of special interest to our listeners. Also, an executive resume, and you've got professional level resumes. You've got, and I love the way they're focused on different stages of career rather than one fits all.
Yeah, and we if you buy a resume package from us, you get two of the books that are particularly applicable to job search, and you get 5 hours of job search training, streamed video, and you get a coaching session with me.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So we do all these things. I've been in this business many years, and our business is selling books. So the e-books are up on the site, and you can get them from Amazon and anywhere. But for example, let's say you've been out of work for a while and you can't afford a professional resume, mid-career resume.
Yeah.
You can buy Knock 'Em Dead resumes and templates. This is
great.
The very latest edition of the Knock 'Em Dead resume book you can buy on Amazon. But it also comes with 110 resume templates that are ready to use.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And if you're like me, you can't spell. You see, I'm a writer. We have people to take care of that. We call them editors.
Yeah.
We have a review and editing service. So you can buy that book for $27, write your resume, then for another $79 you can send it in. I will review it personally and tell you what I think the problems are, how you should fix them. You then fix them. You send it back to me. We send it to the company copy editor, who reviews it for punctuation and grammar and spelling and all that good stuff, syntax, etc. And you'll get a finished version back from me with some final comments about how to tweak it.
Well,
and you can pretty much get a professional resume for, it's about $110 at the end of the day.
That's great. Well, in closing, how does the U.S. job market look to you today? I know the experts claim it's improving and the so-called official unemployment rate's going down, but I don't know if it's really getting better or not for middle-aged people.
I'm not going to give a prognostication on that, because this I can tell you. In the last 35 years, recessions have whizzed by with some precision every 7 to 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen again. The world is in upheaval because of technology.
Yeah, that's true.
I write about in my books, but especially in a book called Secrets and Strategies for Success in an Uncertain World, I talk about there are three ways you make a living in this life. Working for a corporation, salary, benefits, vacation.
Yeah.
Two, being an entrepreneur, hanging out your own shingle.
Yeah.
Three, pursuing your dreams. The only difference between a dream and an entrepreneurial endeavor is the fact that you're making a buck from it.
Yeah.
I wrote for 20 years from the age of 15 to 35 and never made a penny.
Mm.
Then I got published, and then I started to make money. That dream career became an entrepreneurial career, became a core career.
Yeah.
We tend to think in terms of one job, core career. Here's the future as I see it.
Yeah.
At some time, if you're listening to Roy and Martin this morning, at some stage, you're going to hang out your own shingle. If you've got a job today, use it for on-the-job training to teach you about how to make a home-based business or whatever your idea is successful.
Yeah.
On your next job, do the same. Work towards it. I have a neighbor. I was doing my sprinkler system yesterday. He's been breeding bees for 4 years. He's about to go internet with his beekeeping, where they can sell queens at $20 a queen or something.
Yeah.
There's lots of money in this business.
I hope the bees
and
didn't
he's
come over
been,
and sting you while you were doing your yard work.
He's been working towards it for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I worked at my, you know, I went bankrupt 4 or 5 times. Henry Dow of Dow Chemical did. You know, you work towards an entrepreneurial endeavor to bringing money in the front door. The closer you are between yourself and the source of money, the closer you are to financial stability. And that's what we have to start thinking about now. You can't say, my God, I'm 50, I'm 55, I'm 60, it's too late for me. No, it's not too late for you.
That's,
you know, I happen to be a writer, so this jump.
The theme of our program, because we emphasize that all the time.
Was it Mary Ingalls Wilder, Little House on the Prairie? Didn't write a word till she was 64 years old.
Yeah.
It's never too late to start learning about this, because every day you wake up on the right side of the grass, you got nothing but time.
No,
and we need to invest ourselves instead of worrying what the future is going to be like. When are we coming out of this recession? When is the next one coming? Let's pursue. Let's teach ourselves career management. Let's understand how job search works, and let's invest ourselves in pursuing a life that gives fulfillment by the pursuit of our dreams, and gives us financial stability by looking for and pursuing different entrepreneurial endeavors until we can start finding ways that bring money in the front door and give us that stability.
Well, in my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, I have several chapters on honing in and preparing mentally for that ideal vacation or vocation, just what you're talking about, a job that will pay you to have a good time right up until you're ready to retire and makes a meaningful contribution, obviously, to others, which you have to do. But once you decide precisely where you want to be, Martin will help you get there. And I would recommend both his website, knockemdead.com, and my website, middleagerenewal.com. And thank you so much for joining us here today, Martin. And I highly recommend that all our listeners visit your website if indeed you're thinking at all about changing a job or you need to find a new job.
Yeah. Roy, it's been a pleasure to be with you. Let's all go forth on our white chargers and conquer the infidel.
Amen.
And if they don't like it, to heck with them.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.